Today's daf is Ksuba daf Mem Ches. We are holding on daf Mem Ches Amud Beis. We are holding at the word Tana, about 10 lines before the end of the page. First thing we're going to discuss is continuing the discussion about a Na'ara, or a girl that's Nimsar Mishluchei Ha'av L'Shluchei Ha'Baal, that's already been given over to the Shluchei Ha'Baal. The Gemara is going to discuss what if she is Mizana after she's been given to the Shluchei Ha'Baal. Does she have a din of a Na'ara Amurasa because she has not been Nichnas Al-Chuppa? Or do we say, no, she's not a Na'ara Amurasa because she's already been given to the Shluchei Ha'Baal? Nafkamina would be, what type of Misa she gets? A Na'ara Amurasa is Beskila, a regular Eishas Ish is Bechenek. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to discuss the idea that a father is not Chayiv in Mizonos Bito, in the Mizonos of his daughters, and the Gemara is going to try to explain who the author of our Mishnah could be with regard to the position the Mishnah takes on whether the father is chayiv or has a mitzvah in the mizonos of his daughters and his sons, respectively. We're going to deduce what the shita of the Mishnah is and try to have, and we have three explanations of what the Mishnah exactly means and which shita the Mishnah follows. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to start a series of Takanos Usha. After the Sanhedrin went into Golos, one of the stops, the Aser Golios, Shagolsa Sanhedrin, one of the stops that the Sanhedrin had after it left the Lishchas HaGazis was in Usha, and there were several takanos that were made in Usha. So we're going to have the first two on today's daf. The first takanos Usha is that a person should be zon as banav as benos of kshen katanim to support children when they're katanim. The Gemara is going to have three rayas that it's not necessarily a chiyuv on Banav Ketanim, but it's very much ra'ui for a person to support Banav Ketanim. And then the second takanos usha we're going to have is that if a person is kosev kol nechas of lebanav, if he writes over all of his nechasim to his children during his lifetime, he and his wife are still allowed to take support from those nechasim. So let's begin 10 lines from the bottom on daf mem ches and beis. Tana masrav l'shluchei abal v'zinsa harezu b'chenek. Once the father has already given over the daughter to the shluchei abal and she's mezane, so she gets chenek and not skila, because it's considered as if she's in the suah already. She's no longer a nara merasa. Minani mili, ask Gemara, what's the source for this? Amr Rabbi Ami Bar Chama, Amr Kra, Liznos Beis Avia, Prat L'Shemas Rav L'Shluchei Abal. That we darshin, when the Pasuk says that we take her al Beisa to Pesach Beis Avia to give her Skila, so it says because she did it in the Nevala B'Yisrael, Liznos Beis Avia. So we darshin that means that it's got to be Liznos Beis Avia, but not if she's no longer part of Beis Avia, because the father has already given over to the Shluchei Abal. Then she's not going to get Skila. How do we know that phrase is excluding a case where the father gave her to the Shluchei Abal? Maybe it's excluding a case where she already had chuppah. It's just that she hasn't had bia yet. No, the fact that if he gave her already for chuppah, that she would no longer be chayv skila, that's beferish in the pasuk. The pasuk describes what type of woman is subject to the skila if she's a nara besula mu'urasa le'ish. Each word in that description is important. Nara v'lo bogeres. Nara teaches us that if she's a bogeres, she's not going to be subject to the skila. Besula v'lo b'ula. Besula teaches us that if she's already at bia, she's not subject to the skila. Mu'urasa v'lo nesua. Mu'urasa teaches us that if she already had nisuin, she's not subject to skila. My nesua. What does nesua mean? Ilim nesua mamish hanu besula v'lo b'ula. If it just means regular nesua, that she's already been with her husband, well then that's the same as besula v'lo b'ula. It must be that's talking about a case where she was nichnas alechupa. So it's already in the pasuk that if a girl is nichnas alechupa, she's no longer subject to skila. So what's liznos beis avia coming to add? Must be coming to teach me that when it's masar av l'shluchei abal or masar shluchei av l'shluchei abal, that she's also no longer subject to skila. Tosus raises the question: if it's nesua mamish haynu besula v'lo b'ula, Tosus mehechitesi. How do you know that it's besula v'lo b'ula? There are ways that a girl could be considered a nesua and still be considered a besula. If she's nivela shelo kedarka, she's still considered a besula. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Tesam Beis that even afilu boel asar b'nei adam, if they were boel or shelo kedarka, she's still considered a besula, and therefore they're all going to be chayiv skila for raping nara murasa. So how can you say that just because she's a nesua, it necessarily means that she's not a besula anymore? So Tosa suggests that there's a difference between when other people are ba'al her shalokadarka versus when a husband is ba'al shalokadarka. When a husband is ba'al shalokadarka, even though it's shalokadarka, it makes her a ba'ula. Rebbe learns from the pasuk ba'ula's ba'al, and that's sugi in kedushin, that a ba'al osa ba'ula shalokadarka, vein achar osa ba'ula shalokadarka. That only a husband can make her a ba'ula shalokadarka. Other people do not have the ability to make her a ba'ula when it's shalokadarka. Only the husband has that ability. But frankly, more on the top of Mem Tesam and Aleph, Ve'imehecha da'ajra le'beinasa, hajra le'milsa kamaisa. Maybe we should suggest that when she goes back to her father's house, she goes back to her old status as well. Now this we already know from the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel that that's not so. The Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, the neder almana ugrusha kol asher asra al nafshaya kum aleha matam adamu. What's the pasuk teaching me? V'alo motzis mechalav u'motzis mechalal bal. Of course, if you're describing a girl who's an almana ugrusha, of course the father cannot be made for her in a darim, neither can the husband, because she's no longer married to the husband, she's a grusha, and she's no longer in the father's rishos either, because she already had nisuin. So of course neither of them can be made for her in a darim. Ella hareisha masra av l'shluchei abal. Now the case must be that the father gave her to the shluchei abal. O shemasu shluchei av l'shluchei abal, or the shluchei av gave her to the shluchei abal. And when it says almana ugrusha, that she's an almana or a grusha, it means that at that point, after the mesira to the shluchim, she became an almana or a grusha. So hechani koriba, beis avia shalzu, or beis baila shalzu. Should we consider her to have already belonged to her husband's house, or should we assume that since she never made it quite there yet, she's still considered part of beis avia? So as far as Hafaras Nedarim is concerned, once the Shluchei Av gave her to the Shluchei Abal, or the father gave her to the Shluchei Abal, the father no longer has the right to be made for her Nedarim. So we want to suggest that the same would be over here as well, that when it comes to whether she's Chayev Skila or Chayev Chenek, as soon as she's been given over to the Shluchei Abal, she's no longer part of the father's house, Mela, she's going to be Chayev Chenek and not Chayev Skila if she is Mezana. The Lechem Abirim raises the question, we're bringing the raya from the halachos of Hafaras Nedarim, that what the status is once she's been given to the Shluchei Abal, we're bringing a raya from Hafaras Nedarim. Says, why don't we bring a raya instead of bringing a raya from Hafaras Nedarim, that she does not go back to her previous situation and is not no longer considered part of the father's house, why don't we learn from Truma that she does go back to the father's house? The pasuk says by Truma, Bas Kohen Kisi Almana Grusha Vizera Ein La Vishava El Beis Aviyah Kenureha Milechem Aviyah Tochal. Pasuk says explicitly that the Gemara Yevamos, we had a whole sugi Yevamos about this Daf Pei Zayin, that we learned that very clearly she does go back to Truma's Beis Aviyah. So he said that so some of the Achronim suggest that when it comes to Truma, she's Chazeres to the Beis Aviyah even if she's Nivela. But by Skila, it's Pasha that if she's Nivela, she's not Chazeres to the previous situation. So we already see that it's different than Truma, because it says by Skila, Besula Vela Be'ula. So we already know not to compare it to Truma. We already know Truma plays by different rules. Amar Rav Papa Afana Nami Tanina. So Rav Papa says, we have support for this in Mishnayos. Habal Nara Marasa Enu Chayv Ad Shite Nara Besula Mu'urasa Vihi Bebeis Aviya. That in order for Nara Marasa to be Chayv Skila, it needs to be that she's a Nara, Besula, a Mu'urasa, and Bebeis Aviya. Bishlam a Nara V'lo Bogeres. So I understand the qualification that she has to be a Nara means she can't be old enough to be a Bogeres. Besula v'lo Be'ula means she can't be a Be'ula. Mu'urasa, I understand, means v'lo Nesua, she can't have Nisuin yet. What's this fourth qualification we're adding in, that she's got to be Be'Savia? Isn't it exactly this point, that if the father has already given her to the Shluchei Abal, she's no longer Be'Savia, and if she's no longer Be'Savia, she's no longer subject to the Skila? Yeah, we have further support for this. Habal Eishas Ish Kivush Nichus Al Roshos Habal Nisuin Avul Bishalon Nivela Habal Areza Bechenek. That once she already goes into the Roshos Habal for Nisuin, even though the husband has not yet had Bia with her, she's already considered Nisua. She's no longer considered Nara Marasa, and therefore, if someone is Baal her, it's Bechenek. It's not Beskila. Nichnas l'rishus habal bialma. Sounds like the nichnas l'rishus habal doesn't necessarily mean that she's had chuppah, just that she's nichnas l'rishus habal, and that's enough that she's been given to the shluchei habal. Shema mina. So says the Gemara. We can therefore conclude with multiple rayos that once a girl is already nimsa to the shluchei habal, she is no longer considered a nara amurasa who is beskila. Rather, she's considered to be like a nesua who is bechenek. New Mishnah now. Ha'avenu chayiv b'mizonos bito. A father is not chayiv to support his daughter. Zem medrash darsh Rav Elazar ben Azariah lifnei chacham b'karen b'yavne. The drasha to learn this was a drasha that Rav Elazar ben Azariah made in front of the chachamim in Karen b'yavne. Why was the yeshiva called Karen b'yavne? So Rashi writes that it's called Karen b'yavne because the chachamim used to sit shuros ki kerem. The Rambam Perash Mishnayis says similarly that he just adds that a kerem is a shame kibbutz lechachamim, that a kerem is a place where chachamim gather, that they would gather, they gathered together in Yavne, and also they sat shuros like the shuros of a kerem, and Hashem Yisparach calls Knesset Yisrael a kerem, shenemer kerem hayu liyadidi. Klal Yisrael is referred to as a kerem. Certainly, ein yayin el Torah. Torah is referred to as yayin. Torah is compared to water also, but Torah is compared to yayin. So it makes sense that the chachamim are going to be considered to be sitting in a kerem, because that which emanates from the kerem is the Torah, which is the yayin. Rabbi Foreman had a whole vart once where he wanted to suggest that kerem b'yavne is meant to be an ironic name, because Yavne is a bunch of sand dunes, and you can't really make a kerem in Yavne. But the Chazal were trying to tell us something about the ability of Torah to be transplanted anywhere. That one might think you can't have Torah in a Trefna Medina, in a Goldena Medina, whatever. This kind of Medina, that kind of Medina, Torah can't survive. No, Torah can go anywhere. Like a kerem in sand dunes. If you could plant a kerem in Yavne, then you can plant Torah anywhere. And that's the symbolism of kerem in Yavne. Anyway, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah made this drasha and Karen Biavna, Habanim Yershuva, Habanos Yazonu, that the sons generally get Yerusha after the father dies. The sons get the Yerusha, and the daughters get support from the estate. They don't get an official Yerusha, but whatever they need to survive. So Ma Habanim in Yershna Lachar Misav, Af Habanos in Yazonos Lachar Misavihen. So just like the sons, Yerusha only comes after the father dies, the daughter's mizonos also only comes after the father dies. So that's the raya. It's what we said at the beginning of the Mishnah, that the father is not chayiv b'mizonos bito. That means while he's still alive, he's not chayiv b'mizonos bito. That shibud on his nechasim only kicks in after he dies. Says the Gemara, two diyukim in our Mishnah. B'mizonos bito hu de'eno chayiv, ha'b'mizonos b'no chayiv. From the fact that the Mishnah says he's not chayiv in mizonos bito, the implication is that he is chayiv in his son's mizonos. Diyuk number two, bito nami chova hu de'laka ha'mitzvaika. Sounds like there's no chiyuv of mizonos bito, but there is a mitzvah in mizonos bito, that there is some sort of mitzvah to support his daughters. So says Gemara, mani masnisin. Who could the author of our Mishnah be to make these assumptions that there's a chiyuv in mizonos bino and a mitzvah in mizonos bito? Lorav Meir, Lorav Yehuda, v'Lorav Yochum and Broka does not seem to align with any of the three known shitos in Tanaim. What are these three known shitos? D'Tanya, we have a brisa that lays out the three shitos. Mitzvah lozenas habanos. Kalvachomer lebanim daaski b'Torah divrei Meir. Rameir holds it's a mitzvah to support daughters, and kalvachomer therefore it's a mitzvah to support sons. But a chiyuv doesn't say on either of them, not even on sons. So you have Rameir holds it's a mitzvah on both sons and daughters. Why is it a kalvachomer? Because the sons are aski b'Torah, so those who learn Torah, kalvachomer that there would be a mitzvah to support them. Tosas raises the question that the Gemara in Daf Kuf Chasan Beis is going to say that when it comes to Yerusha d'Oraisa, we don't say such a svara that Yerusha for an osik b'Torah takes precedence over Yerusha for someone who's not osik b'Torah. So why would we assume that over here, when it comes to mitzvah lazun, we assume that it's a kalvachomer, that he who's osik b'Torah kalvachomer should receive the mizonos? So it tells us there's a difference between dina Yerusha d'Oraisa versus a mitzvah lazona, where the money isn't his. Yerusha creates a shibud; it means the money actually belongs to them. So if the Torah creates such a shibud, we don't have the right to adjust that shibud based on whether someone learns Torah or not. And when it comes to a mitzvah to support someone, so that's very similar to a mitzvah of tzedakah, where talmidei chacham come before others in terms of the mitzvah of tzedakah, in terms of where the greatest mitzvah and where a person should throw a support. So it goes to talmidei chachamim before others. That's all the question over here. Is this really a mitzvah of tzedakah, this din that we say hamitzvah ika? What kind of mitzvah is this? Is this a mitzvah of tzedakah or not? Even if there's the Gemara is saying when there's no chiyuv, it would still be mishum mitzvah. So is that a mitzvah be alma, or is it a mitzvah tzedakah? There could be nafkaminas. Tzedakah has certain gedarim. We're going to learn one of the takanos of Vusha is amivazvez al mivazvez yosem yichomesh. You don't spend more than 20% of your money on tzedakah. So is there a mitzvah beyond 20% to be to support his children? For one to support their children, or is it not a mitzvah beyond 20%? It's like tzedakah; it's only a mitzvah up until 20%. Beyond that, you're not supposed to give them beyond that for tzedakah. So if it's a mitzvah bialma, though, we're just saying that it's the right thing to do no matter what. So it doesn't follow the gedarim of tzedakah. Anyway, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer mitzvah lozunas abanim kal v'chomer labanos mishum zilusa. Rabbi Yehuda says also that it's only a mitzvah for both banim and banos. There's no chiyuv for banim, but he views it from the opposite perspective, that it's a mitzvah on the banim, then therefore it's a kal v'chomer for the daughters, because it's more degrading for girls not to be supported. Rabbi Yochanan Broka Omer, chova lozenes abanos, it's a chiyuv to give mezonos to daughters, la'achar misa savien, after the father dies, avul b'chaye avien, elu ve'elu eina nizonin. But while the father's still alive, there's not even a mitzvah, not for the sons and not for the daughters. So mani masnisin, who could the author of our Mishnah be going? E Rabbi Meir ha'amar banim mitzvah. If we were going like Rabbi Meir, problem is Rabbi Meir holds that banim is only a mitzvah, banim is not a chiyuv. E Rabbi Yehuda ha'amar banim nami mitzvah. If it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, also same problem. Rabbi Yehuda says banim is only a mitzvah, that it's not a chiyuv. Our Mishnah seems to say that banos is a mitzvah, but banim is a chiyuv. And here Rabbi Yochanan Broka, afil mitzvah nami leka. And if it's going like Rabbi Yochanan Broka doesn't even think there's a mitzvah for anybody, not for banim, not for banos. So it doesn't seem to be going like anybody. Says the Gemara, could be going like any one of these three shittos. Iba yisem Rabbi Meir, Iba yisem Rabbi Yehuda, Iba yisem Rabbi Yochanan Broka. It could be going like any one of them. How so? Iba yisem Rabbi Meir. It could be going like Rabbi Meir v'achi kamar. Ha'avinu chayiv b'mizonos bito v'u'adin l'bno. A father is not chayiv in the mizonos of his daughter. Maybe what the Mishnah means to say, not to be medayek, oh, but he is chayiv in the mizonos of his son. No, it means to say, v'u'adin l'bno. He's also not chayiv in the mizonos of his son. Ha'mitzvah b'bito ika, kal v'chomer l'banim. The second diuk that we wanted to make, that there's a mitzvah bibito, that's a good diuk, and the same would be true when it comes to banim, that there's a mitzvah for both his son and his daughter. There's a mitzvah to support both his son and his daughter. V'haydik tani bito, why then does it only single out the daughter? To tell us that even the daughter, there is no chiyuv, there's only a mitzvah. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Matnas Ani in Parakir Lalachat HaZayin that someone who gives mizonos to banav ubanos of HaGedolim, that he's not chayiv min adin to support in order to teach his children Torah, to be manig benosav b'derech hayishara, it's b'chal mitzvah tzedakah, and it's a tzedakah gedola, because karov kodem, that when one supports their children, it's the greatest form of tzedakah, because the halacha by tzedakah is you have to give to those who are closest to you first. That tzedakah starts at home, and then we extend beyond the home. So the Shach and Simresh Mem Tes in Yaradeya quotes the halacha from Ram Rutenberg in a tshuva that it's mutter to be mfarnis banav ubanos of hagadolim with meiser money. That even if you have the ability to be mfarnis children from other monies, and you have enough left over for to give regular meiser to taniyim, the Maram Rutenberg writes, you're allowed to be mfarnis banav ubanos of hagadolim for meiser money. So the Taz strongly disagrees, and he says, even though someone who supports banav hakatanim is bechlal osa tzedakah b'chaleis, the Gemara is a drasha, what does it mean someone who does tzedakah at every moment? It's someone who supports his kids, because he's doing tzedakah with his children at every moment. Says the Taz, that means to tell you that that's a kiyum of tzedakah, but it's not a kiyum of the minhag of meiser, of giving meiser. Meiser means outside of your house, outside of your immediate family. firmly. Ma'is would mean beyond that. So it's a discussion. The Taz, some of the Achronim say the Taz must have never seen Maram Rutenberg. Shach is quoting Maram Rutenberg, much more authoritative than the Taz. It's a tshuva of the Rishonim, the Rebbe of the Rush, that maybe if the Taz would have seen this, he would have changed his tune a little bit. The Aruch HaShulchan over there in Reish Mem Tes says that even though Chazal say Osa Tzedakah B'chaleis is a reference to Banu Menosav K'shem K'tanim, he says it can't be B'chlal Tzedakah. It's a drush that the Gemara is saying. He said that that's also a mitzvah, but Chalila Lachshav, that's really called Tzedakah, says the Aruch HaShulchan, because if that were really called Tzedakah, then no ani would ever receive a penny of Tzedakah. Meaning if the one's entire, if our Chiv of Tzedakah is to give Meiser, let's say, let's even assume it were a Chiv Da Reis to give Meiser, but if one were able to fulfill his chiv of meiser with his children, it costs more than 10% of your money to raise your children. So no ani would ever get tzedakah. It would be terrible. It would be impossible for aniyim to ever receive anything. So Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva in Yardeya Simkuf Mem Gimel Chel Kalv. He says bizman hazeh we're not able to be mefarnes banav gadolim even more than 6 years old with the meiser money based on the Ran. He says the Ran writes the chiv mezonos of banav katanim less than 6 years old is because they're negrorim achrei ha'em, that they're always staying with the parents. They have no independence. They don't go out to get a job. So when a child is at that stage, we assume that it's a chiyuv, that it's not going to be part of the mitzvah of tzedakah. So Moshe says nowadays, clearly the minhag is that children stay in the parents' home and are dependent on their parents for a much longer time than that, well beyond the age of six. Mela, that's not a mitzvah tzedakah. That's a chiyuv. Generally, the rule is when it comes to what you can use meiser money for, what you can't, is if something is a chiyuv, if something is an independent chiyuv, is an independent obligation that a person has, you cannot use meiser money for it. But if it's not an obligation, so that's why Matanos Avyonim, it's a separate mitzvah, the Chazal were Masake, that Anshe Knesset Gedolah were Masake specifically for Purim, so we don't use meiser money for Matanos Avyonim, but for Mal Shechitim, Zaminag, it's not a chiyuv, so most of the poskim are making you use meiser money for Mal Shechitim. So different obligations that people have. So if it's a real obligation, then you can't use. So anyway, so that was how the Mishnah could even go on like Rav Meir. Says Gemara further, Viba Yisema Rav Yehuda. Our Mishnah could also be gone like Rav Yehuda Vachi Kamar. And this is what the Mishnah means to say. Ha'ave no chayev b'mezonos bito, v'kol shkein l'beno. Father's not chayev in the mezonos of his daughter, and certainly he's not chayev in the mezonos of his son either, because it's less degrading for a boy. Ha'mitzvah b'beno ika, but there is a mitzvah even in his son, v'kal v'chomer l'banos. And therefore, it's a kal v'chomer that there's a mitzvah for him to support his daughters. Vadiktani bito, the reason the Mishnah only mentions bito, even though the same rules would apply for a son as well, hakamashum dafilu bito chavaleka. It's telling us that even his daughter, there is no chiyuv, it's only a mitzvah. V'iba yisema, a third way of understanding it is Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, that our Mishnah might be going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. V'achi kamar, and this is what the Mishnah is telling us. Eino chayiv b'mezonos bito v'hu adin lebno. The person is not chayiv in the mezonos of his daughter, and the same would be true for his son. V'hu adin dafilu mitzvah na mileka. And not only that, there's not even a mitzvah in supporting the son. V'aydi debanos lachar misavien chova tananami eino chayiv. But since banos after the father dies becomes a chova, the Mishnah speaks in terms of what you're not chayiv, even though it's more than just not chayiv, that it's not even a mitzvah when to support banim and banos when he's alive. So that would be going like Rabbi Yochum and Broka, that it's neither a chayiv nor a mitzvah, not on the banim and not on the banos. Now we move on to Takanos Usha, the first of which relates very much to this discussion, and that's what's going to lead us into the whole discussion of all of these Takanos Usha. So the first Takanos Usha, Am Rabbi La, Am Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina. Bu'usha Hiskinu, they made a Takana in Usha, about 12 lines into Mem Tesun Beis. Bu'usha Hiskinu, Shei Adam Zan as Banav, the Espinos of Kshem Ketanim. That a person has to support his children when they are very young. That when one's children are Ketanim, he has to support them. Says Tosfos, Aval Ketane Ketanim Lukuli Al Mechayiv Kedamer B'Sof Afalpi. But if they're very, very young, then everyone would agree that they're Chayiv, and it's not even a Takanas Usha. That's something that's self-understood. That Ketane Ketanim, he has a Chayiv to support them. We assume Ketane Ketanim means less than 6 years old. Then everyone would agree. We could even force Rav Yoridlin Chasav to support his children. We're going to see that in the Gemara later on. Samachem and Beis, the Darish Rabbi Ula Rabba Apiska de Benesia, Apple Bishamri and Adam Zanas, Banam Nasak Shem Katanim, Abul Zan, Kitane Katanim, the Gemara is going to say. And the Gemara is going to be very clear over there that Kitane Katanim means below the age of six. The Rush writes in the name of Rabbeinu Meir that this chiyuv to support ketane ketanim up until the age of six is even when they have their own money, even if they have their own achasim. Let's say they got a yerusha from their maternal grandfather. Still, the father has a chiyuv to support them, and he explains the reason is because the gedder of this takanas chachamim is a chiyuv gamur, and therefore it has nothing to do with tzedakah, with them being needy. No, it's a chiyuv gamur that it's a father's responsibility to be mefarnes. So just like mezonos isha, he has to give her mezonos, even if she has what to get a parnasa from. Same would be over here as well. So that's the discussion. Is this part of Takanas Usha, or is this an additional chiyuv that the Chum said that it's not related to Takanas Usha? The Ran, in the end of the fifth parak, in the end of parak Aphal Pi, writes that the whole chiyuv to support Banav until the age of six is only when the mother's still alive. But if the mother dies, then he's not chayv to support them. Sounds like it's the gedra of the chiyuv is that you have to add on the mezonos of the mother for the katanim, but it's not shaykh to the takanas usha. It's not about the katanim themselves. The Avnei Milum, however, quotes from Chuvus Maram Milublin, who's medayik from the tour, that this takanah until the age of six is mitakanas usha, and there were two takanas usha. First, they were masakin to be mifarnis until the age of six, and then they added to be mifarnis even after the age of six. Achiyavish te saros. And on the second takana, the Gemara is going to have the suffix that we're about to read whether the halacha is that way or not. But there's no question. That's what Tos is pointing out. The first takana until the age of six, that there's no question that everyone agrees to such a takana. So the Gemara says, what about the second takana though? Ibailu hilchsak avsei, oein hilchsak avsei. The takana to support children after the age of six. Do we paskin like that takana or not? Is it an absolute chiyuv or not? So the Gemara is going to bring three rayas, three stories, where the clear indication is that you are supposed to support children after the age of six, but the raya is really that it's not a chiyuv, because the Gemara makes it sound that you're supposed to. We apply social pressure, we encourage it, but we fall short of saying that it's an absolute chiyuv. Tashma raya number one. Keva asa l'kamei de Rav Yehuda, when situations like this came to Rav Yehuda, of guys who weren't supporting their children who were over the age of six, Amlu Yarod Yolda Vabnei Masa Shadya. He says this Yarod, this sonin, this beast has a child and makes the support fall on the community to support that child. Meaning, what a terrible thing! What lack of derech eretz that is, that a person has a child and makes the community support the child. Kiava Asul Kamed Rav Chista. Second story, when Rav Chista dealt with such a situation, Amlu Kavulei Asita B'tzibura V'leikum V'leima Urva Bayi Baneha V'hu Gavra Lo we should go and stand on a soapbox and announce that a raven supports its own children, but this guy won't support his children. Is that true that a raven supports his children? That the Bnei Orif call out because the Bnei Orif aren't getting any support from the parents. So lo kasha, habu chibri, habu uchmi. It depends what kind of Orif. There are two different, there are white ones and black ones. One of them supports their children, the other one doesn't. But the bottom line is that we make a public spectacle about the fact that this guy is not supporting his kids. And Kiavasal Kamedrava, third story, Amalei Nichlach Dimitzni Banach Mitzdaka, Rava would pressure the person and say, do you think it's appropriate your children should get support from tzedakah? Here you are, a man of means, you're capable of supporting your children, and instead you're going to be matil the obligation on tzedakah. It's a terrible thing to do. So we see that it's not usher, it's not a chiyuv to support the children, but it is something that was strongly encouraged. Now Rashi writes, Kafale Asisa, what does it mean that we, in the second story, that you get on the soapbox? Rashi writes, Kafu Machtesha Salpia, turn a kli upside down, Viyamod Ze al Gabe Shulya Begova, and he should stand on top of it, Sheyishmu Kolo Viachris al Atzmo, that he should announce about himself, Shehu Ram in Orvin, that he's even worse than an Orev. Durva Baibana Vugavrlo Baibani. The Istim of Farshi, but then Rashi says, others say that no, we don't make the guy himself do it. Rather, Shliach Tzibur Yamar Alev Yamar Ken Aloso Ish. We get a Shliach Tzibur, we get someone else from the Beis Din to get on a soapbox and announce this about this guy. But we don't make the guy do it about himself. We don't make him make this announcement about himself. So that's a discussion in Poskim. Is a person allowed to say Lashon Hara about himself. In the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, in Hilchos Lashon Hara, Klal Aleph, he says that even if Bitocha Gnos, that a person is Megana someone else, that he says about someone else, he's also Megana himself in the same Gnos. He says, oh, this guy is so whatever he wants to say about the person, I got to say, I know, because it takes one to know one, and I'm just like that. Still, says the Chafetz Chaim, it's still a violation of Lashon Hara. In the Bermayim Chaim, he explains the Makar is from what the Navi Yeshaya says. Yeshaya says, Oili Kinimnesi, Ki ish tmeis vasayim anochi, ubetoch am tmeis vasayim anochi yoshev. That Yeshayo, before he called all of Klal Yisrael am tmeis vasayim, he called himself an ish tmeis vasayim. And Rashi explains, he said, "Areini meis, because I am not kedai to see the Shechina, not mitzad meisi, not mitzad meisi avosai." And he was mevaze himself, and nevertheless, Yeshaya was punished for that because he spoke badly about the Jewish people. So he was punished for that lashon hara. So you see that even when one is kolel himself in the lashon hara, it's still going to be a problem. But the implication of the Chafetz Chaim is that if a person is allowed to say Lashon Hara exclusively about himself, it's only when he's including himself with other people, it's not a heter, it's not a matir, that you can say whatever you want about other people as long as you say it about yourself as well. That doesn't work. But if it's exclusively about oneself, sounds like it would be mutter. Others say, no, everyone knows the Maisa. The Maisa with the Chafetz Chaim on the train, and this guy was telling him that I'm going to see the Helga Chafetz Chaim, such a holy Jew, and the Chafetz Chaim said, he's not that great, and the guy slapped him in the face. How could you say that about the Chafetz Chaim? And then they got there, and the guy felt terrible. Oh my gosh, I didn't realize that was the only Chafetz Chaim. No one knew until very recently. No one knew what the Chafetz Chaim really looked like. Most people have the wrong picture of the Chafetz Chaim in their head. They had no idea what the Chafetz Chaim looked like. He was such a tsunua. He hid himself away. No one ever knew what he looked like. So the guy slapped him in the face, and the Chafetz Chaim said, "No, you have nothing to ask Mechila for because it was." I learned the new halacha, Adrab, I Shavu Karas Hatov, I learned the new halacha, I always thought you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about other people, now I learned you're not even allowed to speak Lashon Hara about yourself. So everyone knows that Maisa, you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about yourself. And he forgot to write it in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, because he didn't learn it until that train ride, right? So the Chazon Ish says, I don't pass on halachas based on Maisa lach, and the Maisa doesn't make any sense, he didn't like it at all. Chazon Ish writes in a letter, in the Igros Chazon Ish, he says, V'chipus ma'asio specifrei adoros, eineni mumcha l'kach. He says, I don't know that style of learning. He says, I'm very against paskening any halachas based on the maisa that you may have heard. So not so clear that there is such an iser. So in the Tshuvas HaTeres Paz, he tries to bring a raya from our Rashi, that the guy gets up and he's forced to say Lashon Hara about himself, and apparently we make him do it about himself because it might be aser for anyone else, according to the first day in Rashi, for anyone else to do it about him. That's why we let him say it about himself. That'll be Lashon Hara about himself. Difficult raya, because the second day in Rashi is that Shliach Beis Din does it for him, and we dafkar trying to be mevazeh him because he's doing the wrong thing. That's part of his onesh, is that we're trying to be mevazeh him. So if it's a greater bizayin, if we make him say it about himself, than if other people are mevazeh him, it's so degrading for him to get up and say it about himself, and that's part of the onesh over here. So it's a difficult raya to suggest from our Rashi, but it's a fascinating topic, whether a person is allowed to say Lashon Hara about themselves or not. Certainly if the choice is about themselves or someone else, that we prefer they say about themselves rather than someone else. V'lo Amran says the Gemara further, V'lo Amran el delo Amid, that this idea that we cannot force a person, and it's not an absolute chiyuv to support his children, it's only if he's not a person of means. Aval amid kafinu le'al karche, but if he's a person of means, then we can force him to give tzedakah to support his children. Ki ad rava kafi le'rav nasan barami v'apik minei dal me'azuzi l'tzedakah. Just like Rava forced Rabbi Ami, and he made him give 400 zuz for tzedakah. Tosus asks the question, wait a second, are we allowed to force for tzedakah? The Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Yud gives us a rule, which mitzvahs we're allowed to force for and which ones we're not. The Gemara says, Kol mitzvah saseh shematan schar b'tzida, anytime you have a mitzvah saseh, that the Torah lets us know what the schar for that mitzvah is, right next to the mitzvah, Ein Bezen Shalmata Musharin Aleha. Bezen Shalmata cannot force for such a mitzvah. So tzedakah is a mitzvah shematan tzchar b'tzida. The pasuk says mani v'recha. So it's beferish the matan tzchar b'tzida of tzedakah. So how can you say how can we force? So Tos gives a few answers over here. Number one, he says v'yoshlomar dakfiya b'dvarim, dakfiya b'dvarim. That when we says that, when we say over here that Rava forced Rabbi Nassim Rami to give Arba Meil Zuzin Tzedakah, it doesn't mean that he forced him physically. It means he only forced him b'dvarim. But even that's a little bit difficult. The Avnei Miluim and Siman Ayin Aleph asked the question, how can you say that the kfiyah that we're talking about over here is bidvarim? We're contrasting, our Gemara is contrasting an Ish Amid with the previous three stories of a guy who is not wealthy. We said the previous three stories, that was just a person who was not wealthy. So over there, all we did is we degraded him, we yelled at him, That was kfiya bidvarim. But in Ish Amid, the Gemara says, then we're allowed to force. So it sounds like it's more than kfiya bidvarim. So that's a strong kasha. Also, the Mordechai points out, kafinan lei doesn't sound like kfiya bidvarim. It sounds like kfiya bekoach. It's a real kfiya. So it does suggest other answers. Inamitos says, katzu b'nei b'nei yir laseis kach v'kach l'chodesh. Hilkach ach v'ya kadam. Rinim perakam d'bam basra. D'rasham b'nei yir laseyal kitzasan. That if there's a communal standard that everyone has signed on to, that they wrote into law in that community, so that they're allowed to force. For the stam mitzvah of tzedakah, where it's an undetermined amount, that basin can't force. But if there's a set standard that everyone in that community agrees to pay a tzedakah tax, so then they could force to pay the taxes like they could force to pay any other tax. Va'od, furthermore, says Tosos, by tzedakah ikatarti lavi, losamitz losikbos. By tzedakah, there are also two losaseis. So it's not just a mitzvah sasei shematan schar b'tzida, there are also two lavin. So we're being kofa based on the lavim of tzedakah, not on the asay of tzedakah. Why is it that matan schar b'tzida means that basin can't force? So Rashi, Masechta Chulin, writes, because when the Torah writes the schar, the Torah is saying that, it's as if the Torah is saying, and the onus for not doing this mitzvah is that you won't get this schar, but that there shouldn't be any further onesh beyond not getting this schar. So that's what some of the Acharim say, so it's difficult to understand this last answer of Tosos. So what that they're 11 also? But if the Torah specifically identifies schar, shouldn't that same svar apply? That the onesh is that you won't get this schar. Unless you could say, and that's what the Acharim try to work on, that the lavin do not follow the same gedarim as the asay. That one can violate the asay without necessarily violating the lavim. And it seems that way. The violating of the lavim is lo sikbos lo sa'amets, is not to turn somebody down. The asay is, even if no one presents themselves to you, you have to go and find somebody to give tzedakah to you. That would be the mitzvah asay. The lav is not to turn someone down when you're faced with a situation of tzedakah. Okay, there's a lot more to say, but let's go right to the Gemara. Second takana susha. Amar bilo amar Reish Lakish. Buusha iskinu hakosev kol nechasim lebanav hu v'ishto nizana mehem. If a person writes over all of his nechasim to his children, he and his wife could take support from that money. Maskar v'zer v'item Rav Shom b'nachmeni gedol mizu amru almanasa nizonos minechasav hu v'ishto mibayi. Even the almana could get mizonos from his nechasim. Of course, while he and his wife are alive, they're still allowed to get mizonos from nechasim. The Shalach Ravin be Igarte. Misha, how do we know that Almana gets mizonos? Because Ravin sent in his letter, Misha meis v'niach Almana ubas. If someone dies and leaves over an Almana and a daughter, Almanas nizonos minichasav. The Almana gets mizonos from the nechasim. Nises habas, Almanas nizonos minichasav. Even if the daughter gets married, the Almana still gets support. Meisa habas, the daughter dies. Amar Rav Yehuda ben Achosa shel Rav Yosi bar Chanina al yaday hayamaisa. I had such a maisa. Va'amru Almanas nizonos minichasav. And we said that the Almana gets mizonos from the Nechasim. So who v'ishto mibayi is a chilish to say that he and his wife could get support when they're still alive? Mal detema hasam udalaka detarach avalachan nitrach l'didei l'dida kamash malan. I might have thought, no, it's only the Almana after he dies because there's no one else to support her. But if the guy is still alive, so why can't he support his wife? All of his Nechasim go to his children and let him earn some new money to support his wife. Ibailu, Hilksa Kavase or less Hilksa Kavase, do we pass on this takana or not? Tashamad Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Yonason Avakaimi, Asa Hu Gavra Gochin, Vinashkin, Rabbi Yonason Akari. Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Yonason were sitting there talking, and a guy comes over to Rabbi Yonason out of nowhere and kisses him on his feet. Amalei Rabbi Chanin, my hi. Rabbi Chanin says, does this happen to you often? Like, well, what's going on? Why is this guy coming over to you and kissing you? Amalei Kosev Nechasev Labanafu. This guy is someone who was Kosev all of Nechasim to his children, Vaasitinu Lizane, and I forced them. Chazak, I forced them to support him, which is Lefnim Yishuras Hadin, and therefore he's being Mechabiv me, because I forced his children to support him beyond the letter of the law. So you see that it's not the letter of the law. If it's not the din, that's why he had to force him. If it was the din, would he have to force him? He wouldn't have to force them. They would have had to do so anyway. So you see that it's not the law that they're allowed to take the support. Okay, but Hashem will pick up with the third takanas isha tomorrow. Oh, yeah.